Well, hello and hi. This is Stories and Stuff, sometimes stories and sometimes stuff. And this is Joy Bubbles in Minneapolis, your storyteller. I remember what I had for lunch way back on Monday. Well, it was actually Monday, December 11th, 1989. It started early one morning in the summer with when my phone rang, and a lady said, "Hi, this is Jess's mother." That was kind of unusual in itself. And I read some articles about you and found out how you decided to be 5 years old forever, and you're no longer a grown-up, and you love to play and love dandelions and swings. And I was just wondering if you'd be able to maybe come and play with my little girl. And I said, "Well, how old is she?" And she said, "Jessa is 4. I said, "Oh, Jessica." "No, it's not Jessica," her mother said urgently. "It's Jessa." Well, I know how important it is to get names right, because my name, Joy Bubbles, is all one word. And so I said, "Oh, Jessa. Like, you mean like J-E-S-S-A, Jessa." I thought, if I sing it, I'll remember it better. She says, "Yep. It's names are important." She said, "That's right." And 4 years old, I said, "Oh, you know, that'll be just so wonderful. She'll have so much to tell me about her dolls and all her imaginary friends and everything. They're really talkative at that age," or something. I'll just, you know, she was trying to interrupt me, and finally she said, Joy Bubbles. And she sounded like almost she wanted to cry, and I stopped. And, you know, Jess, about 2 years ago, saw her father, my husband, get shot and killed. And about a week after that, she stopped talking, and she hasn't said anything in maybe about 2 years. I'll understand if you don't want to come. And I thought, well, my gosh, how is a blind person going to communicate with somebody that can't talk? And Jess's mother, I was quiet, and she sounded like she wanted to cry, and I thought, well, you know, actually, I don't have to communicate. Play will communicate. I'll just come there and play and let what happens, happens. And she said, if you'd like, I'll pick you up Monday. I said, sure, let's try it. So she said, well, you make a list of everything you need, and, you know, I got contacts all over the world and everything we can get in touch with, and money is no object. You just name it. And I said, well, you know, some of the things that might be nice, I said, we don't necessarily need those, but if you can get, like, some big piece of cellophane maybe, and some grocery bags, and maybe a roll of paper towels or two might be nice. They're always fun to play with. I don't know, bubbles and water. Well, she said, I think I got all that. And I said, oh, great. And so when I got there Monday, the Kenwood area, part of Minneapolis, and there was those big, good grocery bags. They make a lot of noise when you rattle them and everything. I started just, you know, kind of throwing them up in the air and then putting my arms inside them and just sort of wiggling them around in there and kind of hitting the bags a little bit on the floor. And, you know, they make an incredible amount of noise. And I was sitting on some of them and bouncing on them. And then I, you know, threw some on the floor, and Jessa started doing the same thing. So easy to call Jessa by a different name. Let me not do that. J-E-S-S-A, Jessa. Well, anyway, she started playing with those, and then I got the cellophane out and was rattling that. Oh, cellophane makes such a wonderful noise, and this was one of the biggest pieces I had ever seen. It was just huge. And wad it and unwad it and stretch it, and it just makes wonderful noise. And Jessa grabbed it and started rolling on top of it and putting her feet on it and squishing it and everything. And every time she did, it made the funniest noise. And her mother would say, oh, she's just smiling. She's having so much fun. And then we got the paper towel roll. And I was just sort of thinking about what to do with it, just holding it, and Jessa reached up and just grabbed the end of it and ran. Well, I held the roll gently, and it started unrolling, and Jessa started running around, and it started unrolling, and Jessa started running around, and And she was smiling and playing. Her mother would give me this play-by-play description. You know, oh, she just twisted around the other way. Oh, my gosh, it's just all around her now. She's just sort of wrapped up in them. And now she's going back the other way. It's over top of her head. She's still running around. And it kept coming and coming and coming. I think it was the longest paper towel she had ever seen in her whole life. And she'd just kind of zigzag and go all kinds of ways until I ended up with the booby prize. Or should I say the hoo-hoo prize? Hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo. You know, those empty paper towel tubes. They're fun to play with, too. And what was else to do but to sing a little song? You're so special, you're so special. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Jessa, you're so special. Jessa, you're so special. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Jessa, you know, some of it through the towel tube. And I said to myself, you know, I think this is going to work out all right. With that mother there to love her, she had asked, just as Mommy had asked me if I wanted her to go upstairs and us play alone, if that would be better, if it would interfere if she was there. And I said, well, actually, quite the reverse. You know, you're the expert on Jessa, and you love her better than anybody else in the world. If, you know, and I said, you being there would be quite an asset, adding your love to the energy. And she had told me about all the treatment places she had taken her where she had to leave her there, and they wouldn't let her be with her. And so she'd be down in the basement most of the time, you know, giving me descriptions of what Jessa was doing and kind of just her feelings just helped out. One week I was sitting there, I was just putting a starfish on my head, you know. I've still got that big stuffed starfish. I'd put it up on my head and Jessa would come and knock it off, fall on the floor. And I'd put it up there again. She'd knock it off as fast as I could get it up there. I was sitting on the floor, you know. She would knock it off. And then I laid on the floor and I jumped up one of her dolls. I jumped up her up and down on my back, the little doll. And Jessa just came over and she decided to take the place of the doll. She pushed it off my back and she started jumping on me, standing up while I laid flat on the floor and jumped up and down. And then I decided it was time to make some noises. You know, things like, and then maybe a little thing like, and, you know, I couldn't forget. And Jessa would get close to me when I do those. And then I did a different noise. And then. And Jessa reached out, and you'd think maybe she'd put her hand over my mouth to shut me up or something, but she didn't. She put her hand softly over my eyes, and her mother said, yeah, she's just stopping your tears. So every week on Monday mornings, Jess's mother would come and pick me up. One day, I brought my nap mat. I just love the, you know, the word nap mat. It has a nap mat. You know, a mat for a nap is a nap mat. Nap mat, I'd say. And I love to push the ends of it together, and it would fold up. Yeah, I do still have that one. That's the vinyl scratching. I got it right behind my nightstand. And Jess's mother said, Chili Bubbles, there's a sleepy little girl lying right in the middle of your nap mat. I had left it down in the basement while we went upstairs, and when we came down, Jess was sleeping so good, and her mother said, want me to wake her so you can play? I said, well, I think I'll just lay down on the floor nearby and just, you know, be still myself for a while. We can play later. So I laid still, and I noticed that we started breathing together. And as we got more and more, I noticed that we were breathing together in rhythm, and I think we were too far away to actually reach each other, but yet there was like we were connected more and more. And as we got stiller and stiller, and our breathing sort of went together as one, kind of, and it became sort of a stiller than stillness, a kind of a magic feeling that really can't be described. And I lay there very still, just wondering what her voice would sound like. I had dreamed about it a number of times, and I just wondered, what would Jessica sound like? Whoops, see? It's easy to say it. What would Jessa sound like if she talked? I even had one dream where her mother was having to tell her to get off the phone because she was on a toy telephone, talking and talking and talking to like two or three imaginary friends. But never thought I'd actually hear her voice. But yet we breathed together. And it was just something so quiet and so together. And suddenly it was ended. She just woke up and jumped up and ran away to play with something. And that was that. And another time I came, it was bubble day. We had this great big tub of bubbles, and there were joy bubbles in the tubs. Well, it was joy dish soap, you know. So there was joy bubbles sitting outside the tub, me and joy bubbles in the tub, lots of bubbles, and there was pans that floated, and there was big cups and little cups and lots of different kinds of sponges. There was even some little round sponges and heart-shaped sponges and great big sponges that are hard when they dry and soft when they're not. Boy, they were big, heavy ones, too, and she'd love to squish out the sponges, and she'd put things in my hand, too. Jessa put a little cup into my hand and would get a bigger cup and fill it up in the tub and pour it into my little cup over and over and over and over. I think she was just fascinated with the way it overflowed. And then she'd have pans that floated, and she'd sink them, or either put my hands on them so I would sink them for her, and her mother would give me a play-by-play of things as it went along. And she put the little cup back in my hand and poured into it some more. And then I got a surprise. All over my T-shirt, all over me, she poured. The shirt that says children should be seen, heard, and believed. I still have that T-shirt that I wore that day. Still have the nap mat that Jessa laid on. Well, anyway, all of a sudden I was dripping wet. It can kind of be a little sudden surprise. Well, at least the water was warm. And if she poured it on me, I thought I imagined that I heard her. I knew it was just sort of dreaming. It was so soft. I thought I heard something like bubble, bubble, or something like that. But, you know, it's amazing what you can imagine when you're dripping with water. But then a couple seconds later, bubble, bubbles, it was much louder. It wasn't imagined. And her first words, bubble, bubbles, was she talking my name, or was she talking about the bubbles, or... I think she was surprised herself. Her mother ran over and was crying and laughing and hugging her. And all of a sudden, bubble, bubbles, she said really loud. And I really don't remember what happened for the next 10 minutes or so. I know a guy had tried to take our picture, but he had left something over the lens or something and didn't get the pictures. And it's one of those times I couldn't even believe if this was real or not. And as many times as I dreamed about her voice, there it was. After things sort of settled down, her mother came over, and I had heard from somebody, a friend of hers, had told me that she was really wealthy and everything. And so she said, I want to get you something that you'll remember, something you really, really want. And, you know, money is no object. She liked to say that. And she said, you just tell me what you'd like. And I said, oh, you mean something I could ask for, something I'd remember for the rest of my life? And she said, yeah, you know, I got people all over the world. That was another thing she said a lot of times. You just let me know. And I said, well, you know what I'd really like is a big bowl of peas, just peas. You know, they're usually a little side dish on meals and stuff. I'd love to have just peas, a whole meal of peas. And the peas, she said, I said, you know, those round little luscious things that are so wonderful, little round things, you know, these peas are peas that please. And so she said, well, I've got some frozen peas. Would they be all right? And I said, oh, those would be wonderful, big, good, round peas that you could, well, you could get them unfrozen and everything and just cook them the regular, you know, however you do, and maybe a little butter in them or something. So, she was preparing the peas, and she said, you know, you're bound to want something more than peas. I said, well, actually, I do. One of the most precious things you have. Well, what would that be? I said, well, besides Jessa, of course, what I would like is for you to stay here with us when we eat lunch and be able to take your time. You know, time is one of the most precious gifts you have. And if you could stay here with us while we eat and not have to hurry off or anything, and be here with us. And she started to cry a little bit, and she reached out my thumb and said, here, push this, honey. What is it? That's the off button of my pager. Somehow I didn't think too many people got to push the off button of Jessa's mother's pager. And she went in, and I heard her part of a phone call. No, I just can't be there. You're going to have to make it without me. No, the meeting, it'll just have to run without me. I'll explain later. Bye. And she came back, and we ate peas. There was so much love in those peas. You know, like when you come into a room or something and you can feel like what's been going on in there, almost like a sense of whether people have been like fighting or maybe just a lot of good loving feelings in the rooms. Well, I get that sometimes when people have cooked food. There was so much love in those peas. Jessa must have noticed it, too. She reached over and stuck her hand right in my great big bowl of peas and pulled out a little handful. And I said, this is Play With Your Peas Day. Let her, this is a special national day, you know, National Play With Your Peas Day. So Mother moved a plate over there, and Jessa was throwing him around and playing with him, and all of a sudden, Mommy! Jessa said really, really loud right there at lunch. There was so much love in those peas. And that's not where the story ends. One day, I got a call several years later. Jessa wasn't four anymore. And she said, hey, I found a book to read you. You know, I remember how you, well, I know you're five, and I remember how you love peas. And this book is Five Peas in a Pod by Hans Christian Andersen. And she read it to me in her about 10-year-old voice. And one night, her mother called me. They had moved back to Oklahoma. And she said, I was in a long, boring philanthropy meeting, and I just couldn't wait for it to break so I could call you. Really? Yeah, you know what they had for dinner? I bet you could guess. Oh, I think I could guess. Let's see, did they have chicken hearts and gravy? No, they didn't have no chicken hearts and gravy. But she said, honey, I'll never in my life be able to eat peas without thinking of you. So, in my life, I've had a lot of good things happen to me, a lot of adventures. I've even got some awards, like the one from Australia for this story. But you know, I don't think anything is any better than that December 11th, that day when I heard Jess's voice for the first time. That was reward enough, something that is inside me forever. And after all, I still have that nap mat that she slept on. A mat for a nap is a nap mat. Nap mat. Next time, there'll be another story. Take care of each other and stay strong and find some time to play. Isn't being able to talk a special thing? Bye for now.